Romans chapter 5. We're going to study on the much more grace of God. Phrases taken right out of this chapter to build that title, the much more grace of God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your truth, your light, your Holy Spirit, your sufficient, life-giving word. Thank you for being here with us now. Thank you for Calvary Chapel of Irvine, Lord. Pour out your blessings upon this dear fellowship. Thank you for all that you're doing near and far through these lives gathered right here. Lord, thank you for all that you brought into our heart and home and ministry through this fellowship. Lord, for this very, very important subject, a life-changing subject, a kingdom-building subject, open our hearts, give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Lord, we can only understate the glory of the grace of God. Give us a new appreciation for it this day and teach us how to live by it day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The much more grace of God. This phrase, much more, appears frequently in Romans chapter 5 in reference to the grace of God. The much more grace of God. God's grace is much more than we have ever yet experienced in our own lives. The grace of God is much more than we will ever come to know in just time and space here upon this earth. The grace of God is much more than we yet understand. The grace of God is much more than we will ever need to walk in victory and fullness of life. The grace of God is much more than the devastating effects of sin in people's lives. The grace of God is much more than forgiveness alone. The much more grace of God. We're going to examine all of these issues and really more in one verse which describes the reason for all of man's problems and the resources for all of God's remedies. All of that and more is in one verse in Romans chapter 5, and that's verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The reason for all of man's problems. For if by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. The one man's offense, Adam. Adam's sin. Adam rebelled against God. And all of his seed after him were born in sin and death and trespass, alienated from the God who made them. And by the one man's offense, by the way, let's not think we would have done any better. We've kind of proven how well we would have done in the Garden of Eden. But by the one man's offense and our connection to him and start in him, death reigned through the one. Death reigning through the sin of Adam. This is why lives and families and even nations get so devastated. When you look around the world, what a mess the world is in. When you look at individual lives, how bound, how broken, how empty lives can get. What's behind all of that? Death is reigning through the one, through Adam's sin. There's a tyrant, cruel dictator dominating the lives of humanity. Jesus spoke of him in John 10:10. He said, the thief came only to rob and kill and destroy. And this thief has been ripping off humanity since the Garden of Eden. No wonder lives are so devastated. Brother John has been frequently to the Sudan. When did you just get back? You didn't go. Couldn't go. That's how tough it's getting there. Remember the last time John went, telling me the stories of what they faced. I remember the film that Gary Kusinoki showed up at camp this last, from the southern Sudan. How can you explain such devastation? Death reigns over humanity. It's true everywhere on earth. I was in London, Munich, Budapest, out in the beautiful village of Veszprém. In all of these places, whether they're monuments of the Tower of Babel, like London, Munich, Budapest, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, you name it, or more rural places like Calvary Chapel Veszprém is sorted in. It's the same everywhere you go. Death is reigning over humanity. A cruel dictator dominating people's lives. All of humanity who have only been born once naturally through the bloodline of Adam, death is reigning over them. Death. What a name for the dictator. We know the Prince of Life. This is the Prince of Death ruling over people. How can something like has happened in the Sudan happen? Because there's there a ruler who wants to rob, kill, and destroy. And he's doing it effectively. And really, what's going on in the southern Sudan and, say, Hollywood, California, is really no different. One is just more overwhelming and obvious to behold. You can hardly take it in. Whether it's the glittering films of Hollywood or the drought, the destruction, the famine, and the genocide of the southern Sudan, it's the same issue. Death is reigning over people's lives. The symptoms of this spiritual death: fear, dishonesty, greed, brutality, prejudice of all kinds. Oh, the schism and division and prejudice in this world are staggering. You know, colors of people, white and black and red and yellow and brown and all divided up. And then within each color, you got ages, and then within each age group, you got all these economic and educational strata. It's astounding how mankind can just keep dividing and chopping, and we're right and everyone else is wrong, and we're good and they're bad, and hey, let's watch out for us, and who cares about them? It is astounding. How do you explain that? Death is reigning over humanity. The pride that is rampant in the world, self-sufficiency, self-exaltation, man worshipped and glorified, evil accepted and righteousness unpopular, death reigning over humanity. All related to alienation from God. More and more in this world, self reigns supreme. I went to teach on, they asked me to teach on counseling God's way in Hungary, and some of the pastors said, you know, you can maybe tone it down a little from the messages in America because it's not quite the same problem over here. And that night in my room before the first message, I thought and prayed, and I thought, you know, I love these guys, and I appreciate their concern and their counsel, but I just can't buy it. I just can't buy it. I said, said, Lord, I've never been anywhere that this has not been a major problem in the last 25, 30 years of teaching the Word of God. And I just thought, you know, Lord, I'm just going to go out there and just let you pour out of my heart as strong as you want to. And woo-wee. Gushing torrent of living water came out. It was like that first meeting and folks were on their heels. And I didn't, you know, didn't try to do that. I just believe you need to let the Lord lead. And afterwards found out that it's the same in Europe as it is in the States. Self reigns supreme. Feeding on psychological theory and all of that, just pumped up till it's ready to be God Himself, you know. Death reigning over lives. The remedies of the world and the remedies of too many in the church world are only drawing on Adam's resources. Seems like the church is more interested in common sense than supernatural biblical sense. It seems like the church is more interested in the wisdom of Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung and Abraham Maslow than the Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles. What's behind that strange direction? Death reigning over humanity and even influencing the Church of Jesus Christ. You cannot take the resources of Adam and set Adam free and make him whole. Or you might rearrange the symptoms a little, you know. But you can't take away the fact that death is reigning through the offense of the one, Adam. Well, that's the reason for the mess that lives get into and families. And it's hard to believe sometimes. It's shocking to consider how messed up an individual life can get. I need go no further than my own to be convinced of that. When I came to the Lord, my goodness, talk about bankruptcy. And apart from the Lord, the amazing thing is, there'd be nothing there today. I mean, it's all about Him and His grace. You look at families, devastated, mean, divided, hating, cruel. Family members not able to trust each other. What's going on? Death is reigning over humanity. What's the remedy? For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The reason for all of man's problems lies in our connection to Adam and the reign of death over lives related only to Adam. The resource for all of God's remedies lies in the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are related to Him. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Christ Jesus. Here are the choices. Death reigning over us or us learning to reign in life. Everyone on earth is in one of only two categories. We were reflecting on how humanity loves to chop itself up into, you know, you get the in-group going down so refined that finally it's just, oh my goodness, me. I'm the in-group. It's astounding how we can chop things up. God just simplifies it all. No, you don't have 1,000 varieties of people. You got two. Those who have death reigning over them because of their connection to Adam and one natural birth, or you have those who can learn to reign in life through their connection to the Lord Jesus by a second birth. It's so simple. In fact, I've been amazed through the years. The more I've studied and taught the Word of God, this is year 31 or 32 teaching the Word. I used to see 5,000 issues in the Word of God. And now I see you can just rightly divide the Word time and time and time and time again and just pick two categories. flesh or spirit, law or grace, heavenly or earthly. And here, death reigning over people or people learning to reign in life. You can sort out the whole Word of God on issues like this and just rightly divide them and lay some here and some there. It's pretty simple from God's perspective. And God wants to give us His perspective. Where are you? Where are you? Is death reigning over you? Or are you learning to reign in life? And don't be fooled. You might think, well, I must be reigning in life because I've got a good job, good income. Everybody says I'm pretty sharp. No, it's all about who are you related to, Adam or Christ. Not how well you're doing in the business world. It's not whether you got the flashiest car yet seen in Orange County. It's are you related to Adam or related to Christ? See, it's those who receive abundance of grace and have the gift of righteousness that will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. First, let's consider this gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. It's the only way to stand before a holy God. God is holy, righteous, pure. If we're going to fellowship with Him, stand before Him, get to know Him, belong to Him, be in His family, we need to be righteous. But none is righteous. No, not one. And yet we need righteousness if we're going to fellowship with a holy, righteous God. So it has to be the gift of righteousness. You can't earn it. You can't manufacture it. It doesn't come from going to church meetings. When I was only related to Adam and used to go to church meetings, oh, the unrighteous thoughts that were going through my mind. Places I'd rather be. My thoughts about these weird religious people all around me. My thoughts about mom and dad who drug me there, it's like, boy. You can't just get it at a righteous meeting. It has to be a gift from the Lord. It's the gift of righteousness. It comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's related to justification, being declared not guilty but seen righteous in the sight of God. You can't even begin to reign in life until you have the gift of righteousness and can get to know the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ, His Son. And if you do not have in your life the gift of righteousness, well, we know why God brought you here today. I'm not a prophet. I don't have the gift of prophecy. And yet, if you don't have this gift of righteousness, I know why God brought you here today. He wants to give you that gift. It can only be yours by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a gift. He purchased it with His precious blood, dying on the cross for your sins, and He wants to give you the gift of righteousness. And how do you receive a gift? You don't say, Lord, hold on to it till I improve my life. You know. No, that would be somehow trying to earn it. A gift you just accept, you receive, you say, thank you, thank you. In fact, in this case, it'd be right to say, thank you, I needed that. Nothing else would be sufficient. I'm unrighteous, Lord. Forgive me, grant me, give me that gift of righteousness in Christ. Most of us have received that gift. It's kind of why we're here. It's not because we're righteous, it's because we know where righteousness comes from. We're here to celebrate the one who gave us the gift and grow in that righteousness. If you don't have that gift, you can just tell the Lord right now, Lord, I'm unrighteous in myself. I need Your forgiveness, cleansing, and the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. I need to be no longer a child of Adam born once. I want to be born again right now through faith in Jesus. In fact, you know, that can happen right now. I appreciate the Harvest Crusade and all that and praise God for it, but you don't have to wait till tonight. You don't have to wait till the end of the service. It's by faith in Jesus. In fact, you'll enjoy the rest of this service much more if you have that gift in your life. You'll go from, when is he going to stop, to, ooh, this is interesting. The gift of righteousness. It's yours through faith in Jesus Christ. But notice, we're talking about, and this is a word about Christian living, reigning in life. We have that gift of righteousness. But don't you know that having the gift of righteousness does not automatically cause you to reign in life, that is, be a victorious, Christ-like overcomer day by day? Having the gift of righteousness does not automatically make one victorious in everyday Christian living and walking and serving. What else is involved? Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. How can that be? Why doesn't the gift of righteousness just make us victorious all the while? Because the gift of righteousness escorts us into the family of God. It does not bring us instant maturity. It gives us birth, not instant growth. It gives us a second birth, but it still leaves us with this choice. Every day, you and I, who are no longer sons of Adam, but children of God, we're not those around the globe just born once. We've been born twice. First, naturally, through Adam's seed, our parents, a second time by the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And yet every day we still have a choice. We can draw on Adam's resources or the resources of Christ. We can walk according to the flesh and handle it ourselves. You know what happens then? Death is still dominating our walk. Let's the enemy influence us by just the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. Let's the world have an inordinate influence and tug and pull, and it conforms us to its ways. Every day we have a choice to walk according to the flesh or according to the Spirit. So though we need the gift of righteousness, that does not let one automatically reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. What else is needed? Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. We also need abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. Have you perhaps thought of grace the way I did when I was first saved? Last week of 1965, just after Deanie, my wife-to-be, had given me a Bible for Christmas, I thought, that's a strange gift to give someone you love. And she wrote in it, "Dearest Robert, may we build our home on this rock." Boy, that blew my mind. In fact, I thought I lost her right then. There goes that. Broke my heart. I needed a broken heart. You can only come into the kingdom with contrition and humility. And after a week of weeping, I was born again. And oh, how I appreciated the grace of God that forgives our sins. But I made a major mistake that I did not understand for maybe 8 years later. The first church I pastored suffered greatly because of it, because 3 years after I was saved, I was pastoring a church in Dallas, Texas. And for at least 5 years, I thought grace and forgiveness were identical. That's a major biblical misunderstanding. Why? Because though grace and forgiveness are fully related, they're absolutely not identical. Think of it. Grace and forgiveness. One is the lesser, one is the greater. Which do you think is the greater? Grace or forgiveness? Grace. Well, that's saying something, because forgiveness is enormous. In fact, forgiveness requires the grace of God. In fact, have you thought of how much grace God poured out to forgive your sins? He poured out at least a Pacific Ocean to forgive mine. You know? Great relationship, but they're not identical. One's greater than the other. Forgiveness is just our first taste of the infinite riches of the grace of God. I used to hear forgiveness and I'd think, oh, grace, it's wonderful. I'd hear grace, oh, I'm so glad I'm forgiven. I just didn't see it. God brought a couple dear brothers, Pastor Chuck Smith and Pastor Ray Steadman, into my life, and through the friendship with both and the ministry of each, the Lord just totally blew out my walls of partition and narrow thinking. If we're going to reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ, we not only need the gift of righteousness, we need to receive abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. Those who receive abundance of grace will reign in life. Not just grace for birthing, grace for forgiveness, but grace for maturing, grace for transformation, grace for being equipped, grace for fruitfulness, grace for abundant good works, grace for the obstacles that we face in life, the hurdles that we cannot get over, grace for knowing how to respond to devastations like the Southern Sudan. Grace is needed in all those areas. God's grace is far beyond forgiveness. Forgiveness is the first cup, and there's an ocean waiting to be drawn upon. The critical importance of this is, if we don't see the distinction between forgiveness and grace, if we don't see the word when it says those who receive abundance of grace will reign in life, we'll just go on thankful for the grace of God that forgave us, and we'll be striving and straining on Adam's natural resources, which we all still possess. A body, a brain, personality, energy. I mean, we have what the world is drawing upon, resident with us too. But we have something available that the world cannot even touch. And that's life in Christ, available by the abounding grace of the Lord Jesus. We need abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. That we might reign in life. Reigning in life. Being spiritually victorious overcomers in the realm of life. Not physical life, real life. Life that's characterized by love and joy and peace and wisdom and spiritual tenacity and spiritual courage, spiritual discernment, spiritual tenderness. You name it, it's life. Life as God alone can give it. And the Lord wants us reigning in life, drawing on, displaying the life that is found in Jesus Christ alone. That's what the grace of God is for. Heavenly resource to actually live a non-circumstantial life. Real life is non-circumstantial. Real life is God's life. There's no circumstance that affects how God feels and thinks and behaves. He thinks and behaves and acts and feels out of the very character of who He is, holy, loving, pure, true. Circumstance doesn't affect. He affects circumstance and responds to circumstance out of His character and His nature. There's only been one person in the history of the world who's ever lived a totally non-circumstantial life. And that's Jesus Christ. Whether He was a child growing up, whether he was raising the dead, walking on water, teaching the disciples, whether he was being lied about, beaten, spit upon, betrayed, crucified. It didn't matter what the circumstance. His testimony was always the same. I do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. That's life. That's living. That's reigning in life. One person on this earth did it totally imperfectly. And drawing on His grace, we can more and more live that same way. That's the only way to reign in life. There is no other way. You can't bear down, try harder, go to 8 more seminars, double the church services, memorize twice as many verses. Oh, all of that can be a time of learning of the grace of God, but all of that can just be religious activity too. His testimony is always the same. I do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. That's life. That's living. That's reigning in life. One person on this earth did it totally imperfectly. And drawing on His grace, we can more and more live that same way. That's the only way to reign in life. There is no other way. You can't bear down, try harder, go to 8 more seminars, double the church services, memorize twice as many verses. Oh, all of that can be a time of learning of the grace of God, but all of that can just be religious activity too. There's only one way to reign in life. You need the gift of righteousness and be receiving abundance of grace. How much grace is flowing into your life day by day, week by week? Many, many, many Christians do not consistently receive abundance of grace. They're living by Adam's resources. They're walking according to the flesh. Their life is determined by what they can figure out, what they can muster up, what they can cause to come to pass. And they're off into everything. The power of positive thinking. Name it and claim it. Every cloud has a silver lining. Oh, things always get better and better. Oh, if I could just feel better about myself. It's astounding the things that children of God are into. There's only one thing we need to get into once we have that gift of righteousness, and that is receiving abundance of grace. Then and only then will we be learning to reign in life through the one Christ Jesus, living victoriously, displaying in and through us that life of Christ that is an ongoing gift of grace. And it's through the one Christ Jesus, through our relationship with Him and trust in Him, all that He did, all that He is, all that He can do, all that He's promised, living on that, standing on that, drawing on that. Where do you find the resource for daily living? The world will say, you'll find it in yourself. Hey, you can do it. Hey, come on, just try a little harder. Hey, if the going gets tough, just reach down deeper. You can do it. You know you can. Maybe well-intended, but there's one great problem with it. It's all a lie. Or at least a confusion. Doesn't work that way. Can't document that at all in the Word of God. In fact, that's the opposite direction from the Scriptures. And even in the Church of Jesus Christ, we're more intent these days on pumping up the flesh and building up the self-life and making ourselves all we can be than learning how to reign in life through the One, Jesus Christ. May God give us a passion for the grace of God. The grace of God that forgave our sins and gave us new birth is to become the resource that transforms us day by day. The born-again child of God is not designed to live on his or her own best effort. Oh, not that we don't throw ourselves totally into the Christian life. But you have to ask the question, what's the resource what is the source for it all. A life by grace doesn't mean we find a hammock to hang out in the rest of our days, you know. Or in California, the popular thing is life is a beach, you know. It's not we're going to sun and surf our way home to glory. If you like to surf, fine, go for it. It's not forbidden in the Word, but you can actually be a victorious Christian without it. You can even be a Calvary Chapel pastor without it. I've never surfed in my life. There, I said it. But whether you're interested in those things or not, you've got to find a source for fullness of life, and it's not in ourselves. We're birthed being taught. It's up to you. There's a big crystal cathedral not far from here, and they've published a new book called If It's Gonna Be, It's Up to Me. Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. If it's going to be, it's up to Him. And He's already told us what is to be and how to be walking in it. It's abundance of grace. Nothing less will work. Nothing less will do. And as much as the children of Adam need the grace of God to get born again, we, the children of God, need the grace of God to grow up and walk in victory. Do you know? Oh, I was so slow to learn this. Do you know that we need the grace of God as much today for growing and living as we needed it back then for birthing and forgiving? Oh, the years have passed by before I caught on to that. Oh, thank you, God, for forgiving me. You're so wonderful. Now watch what I'm going to do for you. The heavenly host must have gone, oh my goodness. Here we go, another toddler in the kingdom. Running into everything and breaking everything and don't, you know, alive, yes. But he doesn't have a clue yet. For the few minutes that remain, let's ask the Lord to speak to us about how to be receiving abundance of grace. This study is from one of our seminars called Growing in the Grace of God, which is now a required Bible college class at Murrieta called Growing in the Grace of God. In the seminar, I've had folks come to me with questions right about this time. Never forget the classic. This one young guy came up one day at break time and he goes, this is stirring my heart. This is interesting. Oh, it's fascinating. Oh, I want to know more about this. But I have a big question. I said, well, what is it? He goes, well, and he was groping around for the words. Finally, he blurted it out. How do you do the grace of God? You know? The moment he said it, he goes, no, I don't think that's the question. I said, I think I know what you're looking for. You want to know how to live by the grace of God daily, don't you? Yes. Yes. Well, this text just drives that implication to our hearts. How do you receive abundance of grace that you might reign in life through the one Jesus Christ? Well, there are two great heavenly, spiritual, relational realities. Critical truth. Relational realities that God wants to develop in our lives that we might live daily by the grace of God. One of them you can find, if you'll believe it, in the book of James. You know, your favorite book on grace? Book of James. James chapter 4, verse 6. But He, God, gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we want to receive abundance of grace, how do we do that? God gives grace to the humble. The first of two great relational realities God wants to develop in our lives, that we might live daily by the grace of God, is humility. Think of the implications of that. Humility. Not the American "I can do" attitude, but the heavenly "I need help" attitude. Humility. When you look at seminars and literature and programs in the church world, how often does humility become the major topic? Let's see. Almost never. Almost never. No wonder so few believers are receiving consistently abundance of grace. Because if you're not walking in humility, there's only one other option. Again, we're back to the two categories. If you're not walking in humility, what are you walking in? Pride. Oh, we wouldn't call it that. I mean, we've got all these euphemisms. You know, no, I'm just walking in self-confidence. Oh, self-confidence. Confidence in self. Doesn't sound like humility. God resists the proud. Oh, I'm not proud. I'm just trying to boost my self-esteem. Oh, self-esteem. Esteem, to hold in high regard. Self-esteem, learning to hold self in high regard. New twist. Who are we fooling? Not God. Probably one another. God is opposed to the proud. It hit me years ago like a thunderbolt. How much is going on in the church world? No doubt how much in my own life. God Himself is not only not blessing, but was opposed to it. God is opposed to the proud. As we're trying to build our self-esteem, God is not going, "Come on, yeah, that's it, come on. You're finally finding out you're the greatest thing on planet Earth. You know, yeah, yeah." No, His hand's like this. Why? Because He loves us. He knows that's a bankrupt path. It's not because He's mean, it's because He's loving. Why do you and I not let our kids go certain paths? Not because we're mean. I mean, they don't know that, you know. Daddy, you're just mean. But in your heart, you know, no, I want to protect that precious child that I love. God is opposed to the proud. How many Christians are worn out with frustration, anxiety, and striving because they're banging into the hand of God every day? God is opposed to the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. Humility. God wants to develop it in our lives. But it's a relational reality. That is, it's something that develops out of relationship. You can't manufacture humility. I will be humble. I will be humble. I think I'm humble. I'm going to be humble. Oh, wow, look at me. I'm humble. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. If you think you have it, you definitely know you don't. It doesn't work that way. It's a relational reality. It comes from daily, properly relating to the Lord Jesus Christ. He reveals His glory to us, and it's humbling. He shows us to ourselves, and it's really humbling. It comes from relationship. What's the other relational reality? Romans 5:2 is a great place to find it. Romans 5:2, which speaks of Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace. It's like an ocean of grace. But how do you access that grace? Well, this verse reminds us, faith accesses grace. That's how it works from the beginning to the end. How did you and I access the grace that forgave our sins and gave us new life? It was by faith. Oh yes, humility was involved in that first taste of grace. We humbly said, "Lord, I'm guilty, I'm a sinner, I need forgiveness, I need new life. And Lord Jesus, I trust that You can give it. And as we humbly trusted the Lord Jesus, we accessed grace by faith. Well, it never changes. You might say we took a deep drink of that ocean of God's grace and it gave us new life and forgiveness. And now we're alive and we look up and we're standing in grace and before us is an ocean of grace and we're to reach in and live by it. How do you access grace? By faith. Through whom? Also, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Every time you and I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ concerning any issue of life we face, going to church, making decisions, raising our children, loving our mate, doing a good job tomorrow at work, facing classes at school, whatever. If we face that issue by faith in the Lord Jesus, it's as though we put a heavenly scoop into the ocean of God's grace and access that resource to live by. Again, grace is not just God's willingness to forgive us, it's His resource to change us. Faith is the second relational reality. Humility and faith. Neither is a work, but they both enter into the mighty works of God. Neither is a work. Humility isn't a work. Humility says, I can't do the work. What's the work? Be holy, be perfect, be just like Jesus. That's a pretty good assignment. See, that's how the church suffered in Dallas where I pastored. If you're not teaching grace, what do you think you're teaching? Law. Law. Week in, week out, I'd stand there, Pastor Law. Here's the standard, go do it. Never clicked. What I was challenging them to do was be as holy as God, be as perfect as your Heavenly Father, be as loving as Jesus. Ready? Hip, hip, hooray, let's go do it. The Word doesn't call us in the law to improve, be better than the next person. The law calls us to the very standard of God Himself. Humility says, I can't do that work. I need help. Faith is not a work. Faith is depending on the work of another, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for anyone who's willing to walk in humility and faith, the mighty works of God go to work on them, in them, and they pour out through them. That's grace at work. Humility and faith, they're relational realities. Faith, you don't pump it up. Again, it's not I will believe, I'm going to believe, I do believe, I do believe. No, it's Jesus is the author and perfecter of faith. You relate to Him, you see how faithful He is, your faith in Him grows. Relational realities. And out of that pours the grace of God. How do you live daily by the grace of God? How do you receive abundance of grace? Humility and faith. Oh, that God would give us a passion to walk humbly with our God and trusting Him every step of the way. What He pours out is grace. Grace that lets us reign in life through the One, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, Your Word, it's majestic. It's rich. It's deep. It's like You, Lord. There's no measure to You. And Lord, as we've considered Your grace today, we pray for any who've never taken that forgiving, life-giving, second birth measure of grace. Draw their heart to You even now. For the many of us here who have been forgiven by Your grace, birthed by Your grace, we want to grow in grace. We want to learn to reign in life by the abundant grace of God. Lord, show us the precious value, the critical importance of humility and faith. Lord, draw us in that path. Make us willing to be people walking in humility. Not self-exaltation, not self-confidence, not self-improvement, but Lord, we need You. We need You totally. Apart from You, we can do nothing. We need You, Lord. We humbly bow before You. But also we trust in You, Lord. We want to learn to depend on You, hope in You, count on You, and in it all, see You pour out grace and be able to access grace for daily living. Thank You, Lord, that there's a way to walk in more and more victory. And thank You that it doesn't rest on our shoulders, but upon Your grace. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in His holy name. Amen.
While listening to this tape, perhaps God's Spirit has been talking to your heart. If you felt the need to draw closer to your Creator, why not start today? God has provided a way for man to enter into relationship with Him forever through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." The Bible says that as many as receive Him, to them give He power to become the children of God. You too can receive Him right now by asking Him to forgive you of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and to be Lord and Savior of your life. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you can do so through a simple little prayer. Just open up your heart and repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I admit to You that I am a sinner. I believe that You died on a cross for my sins. Please forgive me of all of my sins. Please come into my heart and into my life. Please make my life acceptable unto You. Thank You, Lord, for Your gift of eternal life. And I receive You this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me right now, you are a new person. All your past sins and faults have been forgiven by God, and in His eyes you are a brand new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. Now, as a newborn spiritual infant, you should seek the sincere milk of God's Word so that you may grow by it. So read your Bible and pray to the Lord often and seek out other Christians and enter into fellowship with them. We'd love to hear of your decision for Christ, and we'd love to give you a free study of the book of John on cassette by Pastor Chuck Smith. Jesus never turned a spiritual or hungry or thirsty soul away, but filled everyone who asked. So we'd like to do the same for you in His name. So please write to us at the address on this tape and tell us of your needs and what the Lord has done for you today. May the Lord bless you now and keep you in everything you do and everything you say. And welcome to the family. Oh.